The following tape is a production of All Roads Ministry. This tape is entitled The Crusades. The purpose of this tape is to attempt, at least in a small way, to counteract and remedy many of the myths and slanders which surround this movement, namely the Crusades. The Crusades are frequently used as a weapon against the Church of Rome, that is, the Roman Catholic Church. Frequently, the entire crusading movement is used in a way to present it as if it were something bad. And since, the critics say, the Roman Catholic Church brought about the Crusades, the Roman Catholic Church itself must be bad, because, using the biblical scriptural principle, bad fruit comes from a bad tree. Again, critics frequently use this to attack the Roman Catholic Church. Whether they do this in ignorance or whether they do it out of maliciousness is not important for the subject of this tape. In either case, the charge is completely false. And this is probably true because people do not simply make the effort to analyze what the Crusades were and what the Crusades were not. And that is why this tape is necessary. Before we proceed, let us start with a working definition of the word crusade. A crusade is a military undertaking which takes place with a specific goal which does have a religious aspect. Now, these days, the word crusade means any religious undertaking. The term is frequently used by Protestant evangelistic organizations when they say the crusade in New York or the crusade in the West Coast. What they mean, essentially, are revival meetings in which they attempt to recruit people to join their particular cult or sect. They no longer mean it in a military sense. But they usually imply something about, so they will say, combating the devil. So they still have some aspect of the combative nature of the word. The original Crusades began in the year 1095, approximately, because the Pope of the time requested that the Knights of Western Europe undertake a mission to free the Holy Land from the Turks. Now, in order to understand why this came about, it is important for you to understand a little bit of the history and the background of the times. I am not going at this point to give a detailed history. I'm simply pointing out that what I say can be verified by even a cursory examination of a good encyclopedia. The Eastern Empire of Rome, centered in Constantinople, ruled the area which we now call the Holy Land, and which at that time included Jerusalem, Palestine, Israel, etc. In other words, the places where Jesus Christ lived his earthly life and proclaimed his earthly ministry. They ruled that area from the time of the division of the empire, which permanently took place under Constantine in the early 4th century, until roughly the time of the rise of Islam, which took place around the year 700 AD. The Islamic groups, which were originally primarily Arabs, warred with the Eastern Empire, also known as the Byzantine Empire, and the Persian Empire. They ultimately destroyed the Persian Empire and weakened the Eastern Empire. But the Arab groups that were, again, the original Muslims, were somewhat accommodating in their relationship to Christianity. And pilgrimages, which had always been part of Roman Catholicism, took place without a great deal of effort as long as the Arabs ruled and maintained their hold over the Holy Land. And although there were continuous wars between the Arabs and the Byzantine Empire, frequently there were times of truce in which the Christians of Eastern and Western Europe and other places could perform pilgrimages in relative safety. However, this changed when the Seljuk Turks entered the scene. These Turks were nomad warriors who came originally from Central Asia. In the 1070s AD, they inflicted a serious defeat upon the Byzantine Empire, conquering much of Asia Minor, and also in wars and conflicts against the Arabs who had lived in the Holy Land, they took over the area of the Holy Land and the access to it. Now, the Turks were essentially recent converts to Islam and seemed to carry the concept of Islam and the fire of Islam to a higher degree than the Arabs. Now, pilgrimages to the Holy Land by Christians were a more difficult task to accomplish. Now, frequently, pilgrims were killed, robbed, harassed, or prevented from reaching their ultimate goal. At the same time, the Eastern Empire, having lost a significant part of its territory in the area of Asia Minor, currently now Turkey, desired help from the Western Christian area to try to regain this territory. Therefore, the emperor of the time sent a request specifically to the Pope of the time, asking if he could, that he would perhaps be able to divert some of the formidable warriors, the knights, of Western Europe to help the Eastern Empire regain its territory. So what we have are two major factors which set the stage for the Crusades. Number one was the loss of a significant area of territory which had previously been Christian for a large number of centuries, and a difficulty for Christians to proceed with religious pilgrimages to the Holy Land. Both of these events came about because of the rise of the Seljuk Turks. The Pope requested that the knights, primarily of France, although a large number from Italy, also went on the First Crusade, that they would conquer the Holy Land, take it away from the infidel, and make it safe again for pilgrimages. Again, if you are to understand the Crusades correctly, you must understand that the Crusades and the conquest of the Holy Land was not, is not, and never has been a Catholic doctrine. It was not, is not, and never will be a Catholic doctrine that certain people are by God condemned in a certain way such that they cannot hold land or they cannot rule it justly. These are purely political matters, and the Catholic Church does not meddle doctrinally in political matters. It is certainly a fact of history that at times the Catholic Church has advocated one political side in a struggle as opposed to another. But the reason why the Crusades began was because of change of the political and religious situation in the Holy Land. Once again, it was because that the new Celtic Turks prevented the easy and safe access of Christian pilgrims to the Holy Land. If I may use a simple analogy, if you wish to go to a place and you have a right to do so, and you are prevented by street gangs from doing it, you would call the police, or you would hire private bodyguards or a private escort service. If these things don't exist, and on the international level, both then and now they do not, the only thing one can do is band together with like-minded people working on the old principle that there is safety and strength in numbers. The sole purpose, again, for the crusade, the First Crusade, and all subsequent crusades, as far as the Catholic Church was concerned, was to make pilgrimages accessible, safe, and available to the Christian who wished to do it. Therefore, one must understand that the Catholic Church was not interested in conquering new territory that would somehow be added to the Vatican. This theory, or this slander, which is sometimes put forward by Protestants, is easily destroyed if you examine the history of the times and the subsequent history of all the Crusades. The Crusades were always a political movement, not religious. They were religious in motivation, and many, if not most, I would certainly agree most, of the people who went on crusades were religiously motivated. But the leaders of the crusades were the political leaders of the time, the feudal lords, the nobles. And it was they who decided what would take place, how it would take place, they who decided the political divisions of conquered territory. In other words, it was a political activity, a political war, for a religious motive. This is tremendously different from the normal attack, which is that it was a religious war done for a political reason. I will draw an analogy. There certainly were wars of religion, quote-unquote, which took place in Europe, in France, to a much lesser degree in England, and in the Holy Roman Empire in the 16th and 17th centuries. And frequently, the sides were divided by religion, at least to start with. But in every case, there were political leaders fighting for each side. And it was a matter of recognizable political authorities and armies which fought one against another for political reasons. Now, sometimes the political differences were caused by, and sometimes exacerbated by, religious differences. But in every case of the religious wars that took place, there were Catholics that fought on both sides and Protestants that fought on both sides. We call them wars of religion in the same sense that we call the Civil War a war of slavery. Slavery was certainly a significant issue, but the war itself was fought over the political concept of state rights. It is important that you understand this. Now, the Crusades began, again, because the Pope made requests of the political authorities of the time that they would, number one, assist the Eastern Empire to reconquer its territory, which they did, and number two, that they would free the Holy Land from the infidels, of course, being the Celtic Turks. If you wish to judge the Crusades as being right or wrong, it is very important that you understand that these were the goals. If you judge that the Crusades were wrong, then you must hold that the free access of people moving from one place to another and their right not to be murdered on pilgrimages is not a good thing. If you hold that a person while on pilgrimages must not be slain simply because he is exercising his religion, and that human beings do have free access of right into a country and out of a country, then you must hold that the Crusades were good things. I point out that the First Crusade was relatively successful, conquering Jerusalem. I also point out that many of the aspects of the First Crusade were marred by activities and actions which equal sheer barbarism. Many of the Jews who resided in Jerusalem were killed by the Crusaders. There is no excuse for this, as most of these Jews were not combatants. There is no explanation for it that can be offered from Catholic theology. These were, from the best we can gather, simple acts of murder, and murder is a sin always condemned by the Catholic Church. But to argue that somehow the Catholic Church brought this about simply because many of the murderers were wearing uniforms which carried on them crosses is nonsense. I point out that Catholics always have done bad things and always will do bad things as long as they still have a free will. But to say that the Catholic Church has done bad things is to confuse concepts. The Catholic Church as an institution cannot do a bad thing. An institution cannot kill a person, except in the sense of capital punishment, as we say that the state of New York or the state of Florida has executed someone. But in reality, an individual has. Not to carry the analogy too much further, the point is quite simply this. The crusading armies were not armies of Roman Catholic Church. They were armies of Roman Catholics marching under and subservient to the political lords of the time, who, at least in theory and in name, were Roman Catholics. Therefore, the fact that various of these Roman Catholics did bad things does not make the church bad, nor does it make crusades bad. In the same sense that during any activity, bad things can occur. Again, I will use a simple analogy. A man marries and then commits adultery. One could argue, very foolishly of course, that it is because he is married that the act is adulterous and therefore wrong, and therefore marriage must be wrong because adultery always comes from marriage. Therefore, if we do away with marriage, we will have no adultery. This is nonsense. And this is exactly the nature of the arguments against the Crusades in attacking the Catholic Church. One argument which is frequently used by historians and can be dispelled immediately is that this whole crusading movement was nothing but an attempt at a land grab. In other words, the Catholic Church wanting more land under which it would rule and collect taxes from, saw that there was an overpopulation of young, restless knights in Western Europe, and decided to send them forth to conquer the world so that there would be more people who would be oppressed by these knights and more money that would pour into the coffers of the Vatican. This, of course, is complete garbage. If you read any history of any of the crusading movements, what you will find is that the vast majority, far, far over half, of the knights, upon fulfilling whatever their obligation was according to their vow, went back to Western Europe. The problem with the crusading states which were established in the Holy Land was always a shortage of manpower. There were never enough knights to properly defend the area. There was never enough knights to man the armies and to flesh out the forces which were to defend the property. In other words, it was not a matter of too many people and too much land. It was a matter of far too much land and far too many people. Again, very frequently, and I point out that you need to read but any of the history of the Crusades, you will find that many of the Crusaders turned back before they reached these new lands that they were supposed to conquer. So the concept that the Roman Catholic Church simply wanted new lands to conquer, new people to oppress, is complete and utter nonsense. A complete slander that only an extremely ignorant person or an extremely vicious person could continue to perpetuate. Another slander offered against the Roman Catholic Church is that the Crusade was simply an excuse to unleash anti-Semitism. It is true that many Jews were killed during the sack of Jerusalem. And this, of course, is inexcusable. And it is true that Jews were killed in various different places, primarily in Germany, as far as I can tell from historical records, by people who claim to be crusaders. But it is also true that many Jews were saved only because Catholic clergymen, primarily bishops, specifically protected them against these people who claimed to be crusaders or claimed to be Catholics. And some clergymen lost their lives along with the Jews because they refused to surrender them to the mobs. Now I ask you, if you are the type of person who believes this anti-Catholic propaganda, who is more proper to be the representative of the church that you criticize? Is it the common man who in fact probably has never fully accepted the doctrines of Catholicism, or struggles against it daily but remains a layman and kills the Jew? Or is it more properly the bishop, a prince of the church, a successor of the apostle, an official of the church, who lays down his life to protect the Jew against howling mobs? I hold that if you believe that the Catholic Church is more properly represented by the mobs, then you are simply a bigot. And that you must understand this comes only from bigotry. Because by the same token, the other person will, the bigot will explain that it was the Pope who led the Crusades. Again, there were bishops who accompanied many of the Crusades, but only in advisory capacities. Never in the sense that they were the chief executive officer or the commanding general. Now, one crusade, which is called the Fourth Crusade, which is a perfect example of the situation where the church did not countenance evil, did not allow evil, and did not encourage evil under the name of the crusade, took place under the reign of Innocent III. Briefly, the story is that the crusaders contracted with the city-state of Venice for transportation to the Holy Land. And the city-state of Venice made a deal that if the crusaders would aid the Venetians in conquering a town called Zama, they would therefore transport the crusaders the rest of the way to the Holy Land for free. The crusaders agreed and conquered this city. When the Pope at the time, Innocent III, heard of this, he excommunicated all those crusaders, because Zama was a city which was under the jurisdiction of the Eastern Roman Empire, and the crusade was only to be brought forward against non-Christians for the liberation of the Holy Land. Many of the crusaders, acknowledging the excommunication, deserted the crusade. Many did not, and continued with the Venetians ultimately to the conquest of Constantinople. But this can hardly be called a crusade, because it was not done for religious reasons, but for political reasons, and in direct opposition of the Pope. And this is a perfect example. Again, if you read the writings of St. Bernard, who was quite influential on inducing and calling and bringing about the Second Crusade, he preached it with a great fervor, and he denounced it with a great fervor when he found out that the people who were leading it, King of France, his wife, and others, were not behaving in a proper Christian fashion. St. Bernard was one of the great saints of the Roman Catholic Church, and exemplifies the point exactly that the Church does not, when it did call crusades, did not call them forth indiscriminately for no reason whatsoever against whatever enemy they wished, but that they had to be done, again, politically for a proper religious reason. And that evil would not be countenanced, would not be accepted, and would not be justified simply because the man wore a cross on his tunic over his armor. Another charge that is frequently brought against the Catholic Church is that the Catholic Church used the crusade, or at least the mechanism of the crusade, against the Albigensians in southern France. The Albigensians were a group of people who called themselves Christian. And, so the charge goes, the crusade was used against fellow Christians, and since the crusade was designed to be used only against infidels, this was a betrayal of the Christian message and shows that the Catholic Church is not honest when it talks about crusades. This, of course, is complete and utter nonsense. Even a cursory examination of the Albigensians will convince any reasonable person that the Albigensians were not Christian heretics, but complete deniers of Christianity. One of their beliefs was that marriage was sinful. Another, that procreation and the birth of a person was sinful. Another, that suicide was very good. They rejected all material things as evil. They believed ultimately in two gods, a good one who created the spirit and a bad one who created material. They were divided into two groups, the common people and the elect. The common people could perform any act they wish. They had no morality whatsoever. Their sole task was to acknowledge and submit to the authority, rules, regulations, and orders of the elect. One could come an elect and then have to live an aesthetic life in which, among other things, one could not eat meat. Much of this sounds like Hinduism. A whole lot of it is influenced by Manichaeism. All of it has nothing to do with Christianity. They denied the sacramental system, they denied the system of salvation taught by Jesus, and they even denied the basic Christian tenets of honesty, truthfulness, love, compassion for one's fellow man. They were not Christian by any means at all. But I also point out that the Albigensian Crusade began only because of one of the murders of a papal official who was there in an attempt to try to win the people back and find out what the situation was. St. Dominic spent years trying to convert these people without success. And it was only when the Albigensians and their supporters began to set up a rival state in open rebellion against the feudal lord, their ultimate overlord, the King of France, that it became a political matter, once again, for a religious reason. This crusade, once again, was under the political lords of the time, and it was done to exterminate a heresy. Now, I point out at this time that Jesus said that scandals are inevitable, but woe to him who brings the scandal, and that to he who leads astray the faithful, it would be better if he would be executed. If Jesus meant these words, and we have no reason to believe he did not, then it means that his system allows execution of heretics lest they lead more astray. In other words, the simple thing that Jesus proved by his life is that truth is more important than life. It is worth giving up one's life for, and it is worth executing one for. This may be unpleasant and harsh to the modern ears, but much of Jesus' message is unpleasant and harsh to the modern ears. There is one last comment I'll make dealing with the Albigensian situation. There is a quote, I do not know if it ever took place, it's apocryphal, supposedly of a bishop, which he said when an Albigensian stronghold was being sacked. And the sackers, in this case the crusaders, said to him, some of these people are Albigensian, some of them are not. How do we tell the difference? Supposedly the bishop said, kill them all and let God sort them out once they're dead. Even if this quote were true, even if the bishop of the church said it, it would have nothing to do with Catholic doctrine. After all, as any Catholic can tell you, there have been many bishops that have been heretics, many who have taught the wrong things. And we do not judge a system by the activities or words of one man. To summarize the points here, the Crusades were political movements and should be judged as with any other political movement or war. Yes, there absolutely was a religious aspect to it. But the religious aspect to it was completely justified because of the circumstances of the time. The religious aspect was, number one, that there would be freedom of pilgrimage, and number two, to aid a Christian state, the Eastern Roman Empire, in the time of its need against the aggressive forces of the infidels, the Celtic Turks, who were attempting to spread Islam by the point of the sword. In other words, the Crusades were motivated by their primary motive always being and continue to be the freedom of worship and the liberty of people who were being oppressed. No one can oppose this without opposing freedom itself. Additional copies of this tape may be obtained by contacting All Roads Ministry.
You may abbreviate that ARM. Our address is 55 Palen, that's P Paul A L E N, Road, number 38, Hopewell Junction, New York, 12533. Thank you for listening. God bless.